In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So on this day where we celebrate the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ, and on this day when many of you are looking forward to 1 o'clock and the Patriots game, I have a question. Who are you? No, really. Who are you? It's an important question. It gets asked over and over again in the course of life. And we can answer that question in countless different ways, right? We could talk about our culture and our heritage. We can talk about our family and our family's history. We can talk about our faith. We can talk about being a parent or being a child. We can talk about being a Patriots fan or a Red Sox fan or a Jets fan. We can talk about our career or about being a student. We can talk about our hobbies. We can talk about generally I'm a happy person or generally I'm kind of a sad person. We can talk about being introverted or extroverted. There are all kinds of different ways we can answer that simple and yet profound question. Who are you? And I think all of our different answers get to important points, right? They all remind us that in some way, who we are is defined by our relationships. Maybe it's a relationship with other people or with the past. Maybe it's our relationship with the world. Maybe it's even just our relationship with ourselves. But either way, we as individuals help define ourselves by our relationships to others, to the world, to self. And all of those answers hold deep truths. They can help enrich us. They can make life more full, more joyful, and more meaningful. You probably know, however, that Christianity often looks to a different source to define who we are. It doesn't deny the power of others, or the power of the world, or the power of our own self-understanding. But it reminds us that our true definition, who we are, is told to us by God. God tells us who we are. We are known. We are formed by God's hands. We are redeemed. We are loved. We are cherished by God. That is who we are, according to the Christian faith. Nothing can change that love. Nothing can stop that love. We can ignore it. We can reject it. We can embrace it. We can be indifferent to it. But the fact of the matter is, God will never cease to love you, to cherish you, to see you as God's beloved child. I mean, did you hear those words from Isaiah that Marilyn read this morning? They're beautiful. They're powerful. They speak to this love. Listen to them again. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. And when the flames consume you, you shall be safe. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. I am your Savior. This speaks to who we are, to what Christianity says is the definition of us. Now, as Christians, we claim this belief through something called baptism, right? It's one of the sacraments, an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. Just had to throw that little catechism piece in there for you this morning. And so in that act of a child or an adult or a teenager coming to the water and having water placed on their heads, we name the reality that God is well pleased with whoever comes. God loves and cherishes that person. And today, as we remember that reality of baptism, we also hear in Scripture the story of Jesus entering into the waters of baptism. And as he leaves those waters, as he enters into prayer, what happens? God's Spirit descends on him, and he knows who he is. In Christ, we see the one who truly knows the truth of who he is. He does not forget that truth. Again, hear the words from this morning's gospel. When Jesus also had been baptized and he was praying, the heaven was open, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased." Jesus knew who he was. The child of God. Beloved. He knew that reality. Even as the leaders of his faith rejected him and judged him and turned him over to the authorities, he remembered who he was. Beloved. Even when the government arrested him and tortured him and took him out on a cross, he remembered who he was. Beloved. Even when his friends ran from him and abandoned him and said they had no clue who he was, he knew who he was. Beloved. Even as all those other definitions of self seemed to disappear and fall away, Jesus knew who he was. He was the Son. He was loved. He was cherished. He was blessed. And from that knowledge, from that reality came freedom. Freedom and power. For Jesus to go throughout this confused and hurting world and to love, even when others didn't love him. To heal, even when others sought to do him harm. To break down barriers, even when people tried to put up barricades to him. To welcome and to transform anyone who came to him. With that knowledge of who he was, came the freedom for Jesus to conquer even death. Even death on a cross. You know, that freedom that Jesus had that upheld him through trial and temptation, through pain and through death, that freedom isn't just for him. It's offered to you and to me. It is there. It is the definition of God's desire for you. But like any good person, God doesn't force that reality on us. That wouldn't be the most caring or comfortable thing if God forced belovedness on us, even as we tried to run away. Rather, we as God's children need to do something. We need to open ourselves to let this reality, let this freedom begin to fill us and to hold us. That's why Christians talk about practicing prayer. It's why Christians go back to the Bible and read it. That's why Christians gather together to worship, to hear and to sing and to remember and to literally taste the fact that we are loved. That is why we go forth into the world and serve, be it at Big Blue or at a soup kitchen or down at Church Without Walls, or just when we're out and about in the midst of life and we seek to bring goodness to others. We do that so we remember that we are loved and everyone we meet is loved. All of these are practices. They are ways that we try to remember the answer to who we are. Beloved. Beloved of God. So today I suggest a simple step for you to remember who you are. In just a moment, my acolytes, who are now perking up and realizing I'm talking about them, are going to help pass out little slips of paper. They're right behind you, by the way. On those little slips of paper, is this one simple word. Well, one simple phrase. It says blank. That's where you put your name, by the way. Blank. You are my daughter slash son. Select the appropriate one for you. The beloved. With you, I am well pleased. You might recognize those words. It's what Jesus heard after his baptism. And it's the words that God say to you. I want you to take that little phrase. And every morning, every time you've got a moment around noontime, and every evening, read that phrase. Let the reminder of your belovedness stay with you. Hold on to it. There is freedom and there is power in knowing who we are. You. You are the beloved of God. Amen. You ready? Did you get them?
I lied to you.
They weren't behind you. Will you take those for the corner? You take this side. Take the front section.